Today, our gospel lesson is from Luke, and as in Matthew, Jesus gives the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, he gives them in the Sermon on the Plain. So today, let us hear good news according to Luke. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of me. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." May we be blessed in the hearing of this good news. Pray with me, please. Be with us, O Lord. Open to us your word so that we might grow. That we might grow as Jesus grew, in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with all humanity. May we grow in that way. And this morning, may little Benjamin also, as he charts his course of life in faith, grow in that way too. And we will give you all praise. Amen. So what's a saint? Last year, as we celebrated this day, I was privileged to dialogue on this topic with my good friend and colleague, Dr. Geraint Tidder from Wales. We were kind of the long and short of it, if you will remember, because Geraint is very tall, and I, of course, obviously am not. I consider him a saintly person. This year has, for me, seen the passing of several persons whom I consider and hold to be saintly, several from my past and several from the National Association and several from amongst us, from First Congregational Church. Those folks weren't statues. They weren't icons. They weren't in wonderful little posed scenarios. They didn't look out at the world with otherworldly or a far-off gaze. They loved God. They loved God's people. And they tried to serve as best they could. There was no glowing in the dark. There was no levitation. There was nothing out of the ordinary that marked their lives, save this, their focus and their faithfulness to God. And I guess that's why I consider them to be saintly. Now, if we look at the dictionary definition of saint, this is what we'll find. The etymology comes to us from Anglo-French, from the Middle English, from saint, from the late Latin sanctus, sacred, from the past participle of sancere, to make sacred. The first time it's used in English is in the 13th century. What's the actual definition? One recognized especially through canonization as preeminent for holiness. One of the spirits departed in heaven. One of God's chosen and usually Christian people. One eminent for piety or virtue. An illustrious predecessor. Holy means to be set apart. To be set apart for service. And those who hear and respond to God's call are precisely that. They are chosen. They are set apart for God's service. People don't determine saintliness, though we may recognize it. No, people don't determine it. God does. And that's why our congregational ancestors used saint to describe one of God's chosen. In fact, their whole understanding of what it means to be church was based on that. According to the Cambridge Platform of 1648, a church is made up of saints by calling. So to us, a saint is someone who has heard and responded to God's call to relationship, which makes us saints. Being a saint, then, is having the good news take root in us. And we then become more and more like Christ in our life, in our attitude, in our conduct. We thus become witnesses to the difference God can make in everyday living. And this is one of several important points that the early Congregationalists pushed, that one is to be every bit as holy in the workshop or the schoolroom or wherever you are as one is in the meeting house. William Perkins said, "The action of a shepherd in keeping sheep is as good a work before God as is the action of a judge in giving sentence, or a magistrate in ruling, or a minister in preaching." Richard Steele would write that it was in the shop where you may most confidently expect the presence and the blessing of God. Because, he says, every step and stroke in your trade is sanctified. To be a saint by calling is to know that all of life is blessed, and then to live like it. Today we heard Luke's version of the Beatitudes. To recount blessings and woes is a common genre in Scripture. And here the term blessed is really more like congratulations, kind of like mazel tov. These sayings speak to people in various situations and point them toward the future, the eschaton, and what God has to say about ultimate reality, and says, congratulations. If we distill this passage down to its ultimate moral for us, this is what we hear. Congratulations to you poor, because you've got nothing. And thus you're able to focus and depend completely on God. Woe to the rich and the well-off, because they've got everything already, and they only want to depend on themselves. They take what they have, what is good, and even God, for granted. Now, Jesus isn't canonizing one group and demonizing the other group. He's just pointing out the reality that those who have it made tend to think that they don't need anything or anyone. They don't need God. They don't need faith. They don't need the church. They've got it. But do they? I think all of us here know instances where this is true. To enter into a relationship with God, then, means to be intentional, to answer a call, and then to be faithful to living it out. So I guess if we break it down to its essence, the gospel is teaching us that to be a saint by calling is to love and depend upon God, not upon self. And then to show it by loving our neighbor, even the one who is an enemy. Loving them as God loves them, unconditionally. To be a saint by calling isn't about being extraordinary, but about being extraordinarily faithful in the ordinary business of everyday living. Of loving and depending on God and loving God's people, caring for God's creation. Loving God, loving neighbor. It's what saints by calling do. Someone said to me the other day, and I loved it. They said, you know, every Sunday you get up there and you preach, and basically what you tell us is go out there and spread the love around. And you know what? I went back and looked at most of my sermons, and most of them at the very end basically said, go out and spread the love around. God loves you. Go out and spread it yourselves. That's what saints do. So what's a saint? It's someone who knows God, who longs to know God better and better, and whose life reflects that knowledge and that desire. When we come to worship, when we come to this table of the Lord's, we renew our commitment. We renew our seeking to be saints by calling. Being a saint isn't about a halo. No. It's about living to God and living for God and for God's people. If you hear yourself in that description, even though sometimes it's a struggle to do, then you're a saint by calling. And you know what? You're in good company. You're in good company. Because, as the scripture says, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. May we grow together. May we love together. And may we spread it around. Amen.